start in chapter 16, verse 14. Chapter 16 and verse 14 of the book of Acts. If you would, you find your place, if you'd stand in honor and reverence of the Word of God. Acts chapter 16 and verse 14. Appreciate the singing. Appreciate my boys singing. Appreciate that. Appreciate his testimony, what the Lord's doing for him. And don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. There's an atmosphere of quietness in here this morning. I don't know what that's all about. I just don't like it. Do you? I just don't like it. I don't like the devil to have its way. I tell you what. I come to church to worship. I need it. I don't know about you, but I battle hell by the acre every second outside of church. And most time I battle it inside of church. Amen. And I come in here to get fed. I come here to get help. And I need you to help me this morning. Pray for me. But ward off any thoughts that's contrary this morning, any feelings. Let's just get rid of all that junk. Amen. And let's just concentrate upon Him. You get your eyes on empty pews and you get your heart off the Lord. Amen. A lot of times we think that God's in a lot of people. Super Bowl's got a lot of people. God ain't nowhere near that mess. Amen. We get it in a lot of money. Amen. Why, Lord of mercy, look at all the millions and millions going to these movies and things. God ain't nowhere near all that. Get your heart settled this morning into worship. This might be your last service, and you'll meet the Lord with this service. Amen. Get what you come from. Worship. Get the food. Get what you come for. It's freely given to you this morning. I don't know why I said that, but I felt like it needed to be said. Chapter 16, the book of Acts, and starting in verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God. Boy, wouldn't that be a great title? I'd take that, wouldn't you? That'd be a wonderful title. Which shew unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out at the same hour. Verse 19. And when her master saw the hope of the gangs were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them into the master, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the masters rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feast fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoner had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and the house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in the house. And he took the same hour of that night, and washed his stripes, and were baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, He set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. We'll stop right there, the reading, go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach the word of God. Let us not take this lightly, Lord. Oh, God, we're on the little end of something really big, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the calling on my life. I thank you, Lord, for helping me to preach this morning. I thank you, Lord, for friends and family that's here to support. But, oh, God, we need to hear from heaven and not from me. We need your words and not my words. Encourage us through the very Holy Ghost of God that we may stand in these last days to be called servants of the Most High God. I ask you, Lord, to put a hedge around about my son and my daughter-in-law. Oh, God, to help them in that new marriage. Lead and guide and direct them. Let their hearts be turned to you for every answer. I ask, oh, God, that you put help on my wife's heart and her mind. Help them raise her up out of her place. Bless us, Lord, not because we deserve it, but out of your good graces, Lord, help us. I ask, God, you bless this church. Build it upon the rock. Help us, oh, God, to get our eyes upon you. Let us be faithful in these last days. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I made you stand for a long time. Now you can sit for a long time. We go to some of these churches and we're up and down. Feel like we're in calisthenics class. Go up and down for this and up and down for that. But try not to do that to you this morning. But as you know this story, the Acts there, they call it the Acts of the Apostles, but you may want to call it the Acts of the Holy Ghost. Either one would be fine in my hearing, but God has chosen Paul in due time here, and he has converted him to be an apostle or a disciple to the Gentiles. And here he is being faithful to that calling. He is going around with Silas, and he's spreading the word of God. As you can see in this chapter, in verse 1, that Debris and Lystra had been, and then on they had come on to Macedonia there in verse 9, and verse 12 they're in Philippi, and then they met this lady named Lydia. I marked this in my Bible. If you mark your Bible or highlight it, I don't think nothing's wrong with that, but if you do that, I highlight it in heart. The Lord just opened up their heart there in verse 14. And it seems like that Paul and Silas is having a good ministry. They've got converts. It seems like Paul's actually got such power that he called out a demon out of this woman that he had met here. And it seemed like everything was running just well. But hold on, when things are running just well, I'm telling you, the storm clouds are ready to come. It seems like, and I've been in churches and we'll have a spirit of revival and have some people saved and have some people singing some good songs of Zion. And then them old demons and devils of hell will raise up their heads and they won't like that thing and they'll try to bring it down and you'll be going through the storms once again. And it seems like if Paul and Silas was here in the same predicament, that they'd had great success, but now all of a sudden, they was in a place of being persecuted for just doing what was right. I want you to understand that this morning, if I put a title on this message, I'd preach Praises in the Prison. Praises in the Prison. Paul and Silas, for just doing right, for just minding God, got sent into prison. I don't know about you, but I see a lot of people in a Christian church, and they are in prisons. They are prisons. I don't know what your prison is. It may be your family situation has put you in a prison. It may be this society's expectations upon you has put you in prison. I thank God that I'm not a young lady nowadays. I'd hate to be a woman and all these expectations of body image that we have put on these ladies. It is unthinkable about what they have to do. Have to dress this way or that way and put makeup on and have to lose the weight. I didn't know there's even such a size as zero. I mean, under God, who wants a woman the size of zero? Amen. That's silly to think about that kind of stuff. But that's glamorous nowadays. And these women are worried about every little bite of snack that they take, every little pretzel that they eat, and they have put themselves inside a prison. I want to tell you, when I first started off in this way, I wanted to be the best preacher I could be. I wanted to preach harder than anybody, and I made a prison for myself. I had to dress a certain way. I had to act a certain way. I remember one time I was out playing golf, and I love to play golf. I'm not that good at it, but I've never found nothing wrong with it. And it was about 1,000,000 degrees. And I had me a pair of shorts on, and I went to Ingles afterwards. And one of these old snooty duties come running up to me and looked down at my legs. And I said, "You don't like my shorts?" And she said, "I didn't think preachers wore shorts." I said, "I got out of that prison a long time ago. I don't understand why short sleeve shirts okay, but shorts are not okay." We're making prisons for ourselves that God has never made for us. And we're putting righteous names on those things. I don't know what your prison is this morning, but you do not need to stay in that prison. And I believe in living right, dressing right. Your respect for the house of God. Don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating sin, but I'm telling you, you can go the whole other different direction. You can humiliate women. You can feel like women are not even being in church. You make men feel like second-rate Christians. You come off of your preaching as hateful and detrimental, and it shouldn't be seasoned with love and caring. I'm telling you, you're no better than that drunk out on the street. It's just by the grace of God that you're doing as good as you are doing. And once you look in that mirror and say, "Hey, I am doing something good. Look at me, how good I am. Look how bad they are." Yeah, I'll be careful of that kind of junk, because God will take his little favored hand off you. You won't lose your salvation, but he'll leave that little Holy Ghost kiss off you, and you, next time you get up to sing, you'll sound like an old crow a croaking. Next time you get up and preach, you'll have Jesus. Don't know where he's at and what he's doing. I'm telling you, be careful to be so critical of your fellow man. Amen. We ought to love one another. Amen. We ought to understand things. We ought to understand that. What's your prison? What's your prison that you've built around yourself? I'm telling you, you can praise in the prison. First of all, this morning I want you to realize, in these prisons that sometimes we make ourselves, sometimes we get put in for just doing right, sometimes we get put in a prison and we don't even know why we're there. But I'm telling you, inside these prisons, we are not alone. Christ was God in the flesh. There was no sin in him. He was 100% man and 100% Christ. He did no sin, thought no sin, but this religious crowd come to him and said, "You're not doing it the way that we want you to do it. You're not doing it the way that our traditions want you to do it." And the religious crowd put him on the cross. The religious crowd is the one who persecuted him. It was the religious crowd that caused him problems. The lepers would come to him and worship him and say, "Heal us." Think about Matthew, the tax collector, say, "Oh, I'm not even worthy to be around you." But the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're the one who persecuted Christ. Amen. Put him in prison. My Lord, he's not too good to be in prison, if you want to use that terminology. Then why can't I be in prison for him? Why can't I be persecuted? Why can't I be talked behind my back? Why can't I have a knife in my back for the cause of Christ? But some of us need to realize that the prisons you've built is you built yourself. And think about if it's for the cause of Christ. I got a book at home. I love to read. I enjoy reading. I can't find time enough to read. And I do have a little smartphone. I call it that way because it's a lot smarter than I am. And I've got a little app that you can read your Bible on the phone. I really like that. And I got Charles Spurgeon's quotes on there, and I love to do that. And I've got a Fox Book of Martyrs. And back in the day when this Catholic Church was persecuting them, the Catholic Church was taking people out and killing them by thousands. There's a young missionary over there, and his only crime was this. He was preaching justification by faith. I don't have to go through a priest. I don't even have to go to a preacher. I can go straight to Christ Himself. Justification by faith in Him alone, you can be saved this morning. And he got persecuted by that. So you know what they done? This is what the Catholic Church done. They took him and they put him upon and tied him to a stake. And they put a bunch of wood around the bottom. And the wood, they set it on fire. And they said, if you denounce that doctrine of justification by faith, you will bring you off of this, I guess this sacrifice, this detrimental thing that we're getting ready to do. We're going to burn you at the stake. And they said, he said, I'll never do that. It's justification by faith. And they lit the fire and they couldn't get it going good enough. All of a sudden, this woman stood up with tears rolling down her face and said, that's my husband. And if you're going to burn him, you're going to burn me, because it's justification by faith. And they got her, tied her to the back of the stake. He burned on the front and she burned on the back. And the whole time they were screaming, justification by faith in him alone. Boo-hoo about our prisons. Boo-hoo. We got us sitting in a padded pew on air-conditioned seats. You say, I've got such a prison about, I don't know, get your eyes off that social media. Amen. Losing that last 20 pounds is going to destroy your life. Think about what your Savior went through. Think about what your all these other saints went through, and you're whining and crying about your little prison that you built. I'm telling you, you can praise the Lord during these prisons. Get out of that junk. Break free of all that junk. Compare yourself to the Lord and His righteousness, nothing else. But I want you to understand, you're not alone. Christ went through this. Other saints of God went through this. But in this prison here, there was other prisoners. I'm going to get a little personal. Is that all right? Sometimes I get down. Austin, I know you think I'm on top of the world all the time. Every time you see me, I'm cutting up laughing and I'm having a good time. And most of the time, I really am. Because, see, I was a wicked sinner. And now I'm saved and I'm tickled to death about it. I am. I'm tickled. I have joy in my heart. But I'm going to tell you, there are times I get discouraged and depressed. I get down and out, and I find myself in a prison. You say in bars, I'm talking about that prison you can't see. Of just discouragement, distraughtness, and just don't know what to do. Don't know where to turn. But I'm not there by myself. I got my little wife with me. And no matter how discouraged I get, she gets discouraged. No matter how much down I get, I bring her with me. I remember when I'd come in to church and I had the little youngins, my youngin, that boy that sung, that's my youngest there. Now they're no longer youngins. He's an old man, old married man now. But I remember when they was 9 or 10 years old and I'd come into church and I would be discouraged because I'm very vocal in church and I wouldn't be so vocal. I wouldn't be amening. And they'd be looking at Daddy. And they'd whisper, Mama, what's wrong with Daddy? When you're in those prisons, you're not by yourself. You're bringing everybody else around you down there with you. And I know everybody gets discouraged and everybody gets distraught, but get your eyes on the people that you're bringing around you, that's bringing you down there in that prison with you. And you say, I don't know what I'm going through. I know I don't, but you've got to have respect for the people around you and find a way out of that prison, praising during the midst of it, because people are watching you. They're watching you. I have sold 4 or 5 houses, my personal homes. I move in them and I live there 2 years and then I sell them. And I don't know if I've ever told many people this, but everybody says, oh, I guess you're just getting to be, wanting to be a millionaire. I've had people steal $40,000 from me, $30,000. And I've never went bankrupt. I paid my bills. You know how I've done it? I've sold my own house. Never told nobody. Never whined about it. I hardly even told my wife about it. You say, well, that ain't much. You wake up and have a lumber bill for $40,000 and don't have one penny. What would you do? So I'd pray about it. Okay, I did. I packed up my whole stuff, sold my own house, paid my lumber bill off. You say, oh, Anthony, I didn't know that. I have my own presence. But when I come in the house of God, I don't drag that junk in here with me. I've come here to praise the Lord and worship Him. Hallelujah. Because I've got people, my boys looking at me, my wife's looking at me, I've got dear friends looking at me. I've got to walk on for the Lord. I'm telling you, you're not alone in your prison. Don't get yourself on this big, woe is me, and nobody knows what I'm going through. I'm telling you, everybody has got prisons. Everybody's got prisons. Firstly, you're not alone in prison. Secondly, I got 3 points, you know where I'm going. Second, praises and not puffed up. If you're not careful in this prison, you'll quit praising the Lord. You'll get puffed up. You'll get sad. They didn't call on me to sing. Guess nobody loves me no more. I remember I was preaching for almost a year. Nobody called on me in silent prayer. Nothing. Say, Lord, what's going on? What's going on? Am I not good enough? What's going on? You don't be careful in these prisons, you'll get puffed up. Paul and Silas could have said, hey, we was doing nothing but right. We had the power of God upon us. Why are we in prison? And you'll start questioning the Lord. Please don't get puffed up. Get the praise on your lips. But he says here at midnight. I like that word. You see that where it says at midnight. Verse 25 of the text says, and at midnight. I want you to understand at midnight, that's when the firstborn of Egypt was killed. And it brought freedom to the Israelites. And midnight's when Samson took the gates of Gaza and run through that city and brought freedom through those things. At midnight was when Ruth awakened Boaz and brought her and her family freedom. Matthew 25:6, and the bridegroom, he cometh and crieth, at midnight. I'm telling you, at midnight they said, I'm tired of that old day. I'm tired of what's behind us. Let's start this new day off with something better. I tell you what, Silas, do you know Amazing Grace? Listen, let's start up a hymn. And there they start in chains, being beaten down in the inner prison where there's no light. You know what they said in that prison? Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. All of a sudden the prisoner said, we ain't never heard that. We're used to cussings, screamings, and beggings, but I've never heard praises down in the prison. All of a sudden down there because of the praises of God, I'm telling you there's nothing no more powerful than the praise of His children. Psalms 22:3 says, but thou art holy, O thou, and thou inhabit the praise of Israel. God is in the midst of the praise of His children. Why, when you get in a bad situation, just stop and say, well, glory. Amen. Now, I got saved, young lady, when I was 26. How old are you? Probably 20, 18? Yeah. Oh, she's young. Look at that. I was 26 before I got saved. And I've been doing construction since I was 12. And Rocky, you do construction every once in a while. We didn't have nail guns when I started. We had a hammer. That was your nail gun right there. You get your nails out of this pouch. But every once in a while, I'd hit the wrong head. I'd hit the thumb nail instead of the nail. And when I was, before I was 26, I didn't say some nice words. But I remember when I got born again, those words didn't feel right in my mouth. They didn't taste right. It didn't feel good coming out of my mouth no more. It grieved the Holy Ghost down in me. The other day, I walked under my track hoe. And you see, I got all this luscious hair, but not really. And I walked under that track hoe, and I hit that boom right there, and it knocked myself back. I was trying to act cool, trying to play it off, you know, like, oh, that didn't hurt. But it hurt too much to act cool. You know, I just had to hold my head. And you asked my boy, I said, well, glory. Why is that? I'm just going to praise him. You say, well, I got hard times. We all do. You got to learn to praise him during the prison. Praise him during this praise. Look at verse 26 here. The doors were open. I'm telling you, when you open the doors, hallelujah, light comes in and air comes in your prison. You say, I'm in this prison. Start praising him. Say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what's going on. I don't know what you're going through, but stand up and say, God, you're in the midst of this. All of a sudden, the door opened up. There'll be a little light for you. All of a sudden, the door opens up, and there'll be some air for you. And you'll start getting better in the prison. My best friend, Larry Sprouse, was preaching revival and had been praying for this large lady. Wicked. She's just a large lady. Said, and now it's now the revival. She came up the altar. Everybody piled on top of her. There's all a praying for this lady. And all of a sudden, Larry said he was on one side. And said, all of a sudden, that big old lady got up and started throwing people off like carrots. I mean, just throwing them off. And she said, God or no God, I need some R. But when you open the door, you might get some R. You might get some light. Just get to praising him. Praising the Lord during your prayer. You don't know what I'm going through, preacher. No, but he does. And if he's a sovereign, omnipotent God, he puts you there. Learn to praise him. I've got a good friend right now that's going through some really bad stuff. And every time I talk to him, it's on his heart, and I've been praying for him. I was hoping he's going to be here this morning. He's going to have to learn to praise him in that prison. He's going to have to. I've never been there. But he's going to have to stand up and just praise him. He's going to have to get there. I've been praying for him that he'd stand up right in the middle of it and say, it's for your glory. It's for your glory. Because he's in charge. Amen. I've never been there. I can't tell him to do it. But not only that, the bands were loosened. The door was open, the bands. You think about those bands. They was holding him down, tying him down like chains. You ever been this way? I know I can go right, but right might be wrong. I know I can go left, but left might be wrong. I can go forward, but that might be wrong too. And you're tied down. And you think, which way should I go? I've made so many mistakes this way, and I don't want to make no more mistakes. I can't take any more bad things in my name. I don't know which way to turn. During those times, you start saying, Lord, I love you. I don't know where to turn. I don't know where to go. Every seems like every step I take is wrong, Lord. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to stand still. I'm just going to stand right here and I'm just going to praise you. I'm just going to shout right here because I don't know what to do, Lord. Because every place seems wrong, but oh God, I trust you in the prison. Woo! God. I've been right there. I am right there. Don't know what to do. Sell your house, don't sell your house. Move here, move there. Preach here, preach there. Do this, do that. Call people, don't call people. Visit people, don't visit people. Just during those times, I've just stopped and said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And learn just to praise him right there. You say it ain't much of a prison. If you've been right there, them doors are real. Them bonds are real right there. You say, oh, you've got everything made up in your life. I'm telling you, I've got chains and doors just like you do. And I've been in those prisons, don't know where to go. And I've learned during those times just to praise him. Because he's put me there. He's put me there. Thirdly, and I'm done. You're not alone in this. We've all went through it. The Lord went through it. Saints went through it. You went through it. Learn to praise him. Don't get puffed up. Thirdly tonight, look at what happened to that jailer. Verse 27 there. I'm telling you, first of all, he was awakened. You see that? And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep. You never know that you might be in that prison just for somebody else. You never know that. I've been through things in the last year that I didn't think I'd ever go through. Pains, hurts. But it's opened this word up to me more. It's more precious to me. I've been broken. There ain't no more puff up in me. I don't have any more. I can't preach, can't sing, can't teach. It's all him. And I hope that somebody gets the glory out of this. This jailer said, I'm going to wake up out of my slumber. I want you to understand that it shook what had him held. Did you see that in your Bible? I even underlined it there in verse 26 where it says, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Not the earth, not the world, but the only thing was shaken was the thing that had them holding down. That's what got shaken during the praises. It might not be during your prison. The world won't feel this, but you will. This world walks on and thinks that they're going to do whatever they want to do. And I'll be honest, I don't care what they do. I preached at a church up in Fairview, Rocky and Megan's old church. I preached up there for 3 or 4 months, I guess. Gosh, back in 2000, I guess. And they had this chairman of the deacons, and all he wanted to do was talk about politics. And I told him, I said, do you believe in capital punishment? He said, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, I do too. I believe every bird up there will be punished. I don't care what to do. I don't care how they vote. I don't care. And I'm not saying that like, I literally, I don't care. My home is in heaven. I don't talk about it. I don't listen to Fox News. I don't listen to CNN. I don't care. Because God's in charge. I've got my eyes on him, my heart there. Whatever they do up there, he's controlling it all anyway. Why do I want to look at the second stage when I look at the first stage? I don't care what's going on. I'm telling you that if we will just shake where our little prisons is, somebody else will get affected. It might not affect this whole world, but it will affect where we're at, and somebody will be wakened up. I believe that. Then verse 30, he says, you've got something I want. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I've seen something in you and something I experienced this night that I don't have. Amen. Most people, you got any? Right there. My nose is running faster than I need it. It's everywhere on me. You say, shoo. Well, pardon me. But this man here, this jailer, he seen something in them that he didn't have. He seen something in them that he wanted. Most time we walk in our churches and I think, why would anybody want to come here? You say, that's harsh. You've ever walked in a church, though? I'm not talking. I've walked in a church, 200 people there, and think, you sit through that service, and I think, why in the world would anybody want to come here? There's no God. They're going through the motions. I'd rather go to the steakhouse than here. At least the steakhouse, you get a steak. I'm just being honest. Why in the world would you want to go to church where God's not? Well, I mean, why would you want to go through that? There's a lot more funner things to do than to sit there in those pews and listen to man scream at you and sing the same songs we've been singing for 200 years. If God's not involved in this, what in the world are we doing? What are we doing? We shouldn't even be coming there. I don't want to be there. I'm telling you, I want them to see something in me that they desire. I want them to feel something in me. They say, I don't know about that old stupid redneck, but he's got something. And that'd be fine. I don't know about that big old fat bald man, but I know he knows the Lord. I'll be tickled to death. I hope that my boy can walk in my footsteps and see something in my life to get his back on this world and turn himself to the Lord. He can see something in me. Austin, I hope you can see something in me. I'm not perfect. I mess up. Well, you've seen me play golf. You can tell me I'm not perfect. Amen. But I want you to know I love him. I love him this morning. And that jailer said, boy, there's something in them boys I want. I don't have. And what happened to that jailer? I like his part. This really helped me. I'm done preaching right here. I won't take up too much longer. It's 12:02. You probably ain't made them hamburgers, hot dogs yet, have you? So you have made them? Well, I'll hurry so they don't get cold. Amen. Amen. We got a microwave, don't we? Amen. We'll nuke them. What'd that jailer do? Jailer was the one who had them held down. The jailer was the one who had them constrained. But the same one that had them held down after he got a hold of the Lord, he said, let me wash his stripes off. He said, I'm so sorry for what I was part of. He said, let me wash those stripes off. He said, not only that, I want you to come home, me, and I'm going to feed you. What a day it'll be.
Amen.
I'm not there yet, Brother Jamie, but what a day it'll be when those ones that put you in that jail start washing your stripes, starting feeding you. I'm telling you what, I wish I could have been there. I bet Paul and Silas is saying, woo, woo. I wouldn't even been private about it. I said, oh, you missed one down there. Get that one down there now. You want extra helping? Yeah, boy, give me some more of them pintos. Hallelujah. Get some cornbread over my way. You did hold me. Hallelujah. But now you're going to feed me. Amen. There'll be a day coming. You stay with the stuff. Start praising him in the prison. God Almighty. You're going to wash my back. They're going to feed me. If he has potatoes on half rations, he'll feed his young ones. God, I better settle down. I'm going to run to Mars Hill. Hallelujah. Stand with me. I'm done this morning. Are you in a prison? Are you in a prison? I'm telling you what. You can praise him during the prison. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I want out of the prison. Nothing wrong with that. But if he says not yet, learn to praise him during the prison. Just because you ask out don't mean you'll get out. Amen? Are you in a prison? Come play the piano, Miss Jennifer, please. Come and play the piano. Are you in a prison? Maybe it's a prison of drugs, alcohol, pornography. You say, oh, not a little old church like this. You're flesh, aren't you? Yeah, you're battling the same thing everybody else is battling. Just because you've been saved don't mean that flesh is saved. That my spirit's saved. But that flesh still has to be go down to this earth. And you're still going to battle that flesh until it goes down to that earth. And you're going to battle it from day to day. What's your prison? What's got you locked up? Why don't you cry out to God? Say, Lord, I'm tired of this prison. Or, hey, Lord, thank you for the prison. I'm here to accept it. Because there's only two things you can do as a Christian and be fruitful. Either get out of the prison or accept the prison. When Joseph's in a prison, down there, he said the Lord was with him in the prison. Christ never asked to get out of that prison. Kept his mouth shut, never said nothing. Paul and Silas, they didn't ask to get out of this prison. They said, hey, we're just going to sing in the prison. Now, if it'd been me, I'd be a little different. I'd say, Lord, if it be your will, can you get me out of here? I want out of this prison. It hurts, Lord. These chains hurt. These shut doors, they hurt. Lord, I hurt. I hurt, Lord. He knows where you're at. Would you come this morning and say, Lord, would you help me out of my prison? Would you help me out of my prison? Or Lord, give me peace to shout your name during the prison. Would you come this morning? Would you come? I know why it's cold this morning when we first started. I feel God right now. Boy, I feel him right now. Boy, I feel him this morning. God bless y'all.